Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Not only is this a study into the reasons for homosexuality and trying to connect that with God, but it is an education into the way that men think and rationalize their thoughts against the plain truth of God. Now, it is true, there are some scriptures which are very difficult to understand. And when we come to the book of Romans, yes, indeed, there are some that are very difficult to understand. However, we have already done an in-depth segment of Romans, the first chapter. And if you read it carefully, there is not one thing that is difficult to understand. Now, yes, other parts of the writings of the Apostle Paul are difficult to understand, and there are certain major keys necessary so that we can understand them. Just because they are hard to understand does not mean that they cannot be understood. However, those who did the re-editing of the Word of God in those verses to develop the Queen James Bible, the so-called gay Bible, more properly called the homosexual Bible, because they have taken the word gay and with deliberate misapplication applied it to their lifestyles so that they would not appear to be evil. But what they are doing in this translating is much more evil than the gay parades, which have near open sex acts and nudity, because they are taking the word of God and changing it and perverting it. And that is a higher sin than misunderstanding. And that is a higher sin than the physical act of immoral sex, because they are seeking to justify for a mass number of people the perverted homosexual acts, and they are all perverted, and making them acceptable within the confines of the Word of God. Can there be any greater evil than that? I doubt it. Now again, we're going to read from the editor's notes from the Queen James Bible. And we're going to come to Romans, the first chapter. So let's read what they have to say. And it's important that we use their own words, that we understand how they are thinking, that we look at the logic that they have or the illogic that they have, and the twisting and turning and deceitfulness of how they present it, so we know where they are coming from. So let's read here. On editor's notes, Romans is written in some of the most obtuse language in the entire Bible. That is a true statement, but not all of Romans is written that way. And in particularly, all of the verses in Romans, the first chapter, which we have previously covered in depth. Now continuing, making it very difficult to interpret and translate. As such, its translations are usually some of the most incredibly stretched to support homophobic agendas. Now, here is how they interpret Romans 1, to reinterpret it according to whatever is necessary to skew it from the plain sense and meaning so that they can have their perverse sexual orientations and lifestyles accepted and make it appear that it comes from the Bible. All right. Let's read it. Again, we looked at the verse's context. Now, we'll get to those verses in just a minute here. In the rest of the chapter and book, Romans 1 describes how a group of Christians left the church to practice idolatry and were abandoned by God to continue a downward spiral of sins, including pride, envy, murder, and more. Take a little here, take a little there, rearrange it, reinterpret it. But it is a lie. Let's read something here. Romans 1, verse 18. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It doesn't say those poor people who left the church. So you see how they can twist and turn and make it so it appears they are correct. This is men, not church members who left. This is men in general, everywhere, in every society, in every place in the world, in every historical setting that could be, not those who left the church, the early church. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest among them, for God has manifested it to them. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world, being understood by the things that are made, both his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, men, in general, in their sins, in their lies, in their interpretations, and in their depraved way of living, have no excuse, because the truth of God is not difficult to understand. But being carnal-minded and enemies of God and hostile to God, as it says, the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now notice how else they put things here. Anti-LGBT Bible interpretations. Cite. Women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, to mean that women engaged in lesbian sex and that lesbianism is unnatural. Is it or is it not? In historical context and with the knowledge of the ancient pre-Bible idolatry, we know that women were treated as less than men and even less so in pagan ritual at the time. Again, getting back to pagan temple ritual in a pagan temple, and if that is the case, which it's not, but if it were, those weren't people who left the church of God. They were never in it. It is much more likely that Paul meant to express that women were richly defiling themselves sexually or otherwise. After all, these women weren't lying with women. Language one would expect from Paul, a devout follower of Leviticus. Well, what do you suppose it could mean? Yes, even bestiality. We can't be exactly sure what Paul meant by the natural use of a woman. But we can be pretty sure he wasn't talking about lesbian sex. And what do they quote? Romans 1:28 calls the acts inconvenient. Oh, my. Let's select one little word out of the context and make it so that it justifies what we believe. further bolstering our understanding of women's use and or abuse in ceremony. And that means in the pagan temple. Has nothing whatsoever to do with that. Continuing with the editor's notes, another instance of interpretive ambiguity, we believe, because the description of pagan gay sex is written after the fact that God had abandoned the idolaters. The truth is, they don't even know how to read plain words. It is easy to therefore say God gave them up because they were having gay sex. Had the verses read as follows, there would be no confusion, so they give their interpretation of it. So let's make sure that we cover it correctly, and let's read how they reinterpret the words to make it, if it were that way, this is how it should have been. Romans 1:26. Their women did change the natural use into that which is against their nature. Broad statement so that you can construe it any way you want. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. This is with no words changed, but rearranged. Pray tell. How did that change the meaning of it? It didn't. Notice how they make another connection that is not true. We know Paul was a Jew and steeped in the purity tradition of Leviticus. Leviticus, as we know, is intended to condemn ritual impurities associated with pagan idol worship. It would not be unreasonable to assume a connection, especially since Romans 1:24 mentions uncleanness. We know sex, both heterosexual and homosexual sex, not distinguished from each other at that time, really, was an extremely major component of pagan ritual. Most scholars, us included, agree that the sin of Romans 1 isn't being gay or lesbian or having gay sex. The sin was worshiping pagan idols instead of God, as it was in Leviticus, as it is everywhere in the Bible. A blatant, absolute, deceitful twisting of Scripture, and not true. So, let's see how they changed it, and then we will read it from the faithful version. So here's how they changed it, but as we read it, let's ask a question. Did they really change the meaning? Or is this a figment of their imagination as they read it? Romans 1:26. Their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men left the natural use of the woman, burned in ritual lust one toward another. How convenient to adjust the scriptures so that you can continue in your perversion. Isn't that amazing? You think of the gall, and you think of the outlandish, absolute deceptiveness that they have used to try and make this acceptable. Now, let's read it in the faithful version and what it says. Remember, one of the rules of Bible study is what is the context? This is why when we began this whole series of segments on homosexuality and the sin of it and why it is not right, we started with a detailed explanation of Romans 1 and all the perverted interpretations that they bring up to justify their homosexual behavior and say that it is acceptable to God today because these are outdated morals that we find in the Bible. So let's read it in context, and you be the judge. For this cause, now remember, as we said, God does not do things without cause. And remember this, the curse does not come without cause. Now God is just, God is righteous, God is merciful. But when people deliberately go against God and change and pervert the true simple words of God, then God abandons them. Verse 24, now follow along. For this cause God abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to disgrace their own bodies between themselves. Now, what do you suppose that means? Huh? Cutting their fingernails a different way? Cropping off their hair some weird way? Of course not. Who exchange the truth of God for the lie. That's precisely what they have done in this explanation, to change the word of God into their lie. And they worshiped and served the created thing more than the one who is creator, who is blessed into the ages. Amen. Yes, they were idolaters of perverted sex. For this cause, second cause, God abandoned them to disgraceful passions. For even their women changed the natural use of sex into that which is contrary to nature, lesbianism and bestiality. What do you think that's describing? Just temple ritual? But if you do it in a pagan temple, that's sin. But if you do it at home in the privacy of your bedroom, that's acceptable. Is it really? Is the place where it is done sin? Or is the act itself sin? The act itself is sin. The natural use of women were inflamed in their lustful passions toward one another, men with men shamelessly committing lewd acts and receiving back within themselves a fitting penalty for their error. Now that's God's judgment. Is that difficult to understand? Does that not describe homosexual relations? Men to men, women to women, men to beasts, women to beasts. That's not true. Is that not what we have today? And isn't it a shame that we have to go through and explain these things? Because we have become so perverse and the civilizations of this world that we have given ourselves over to all of these terrible and wicked things, and it lists all the things that they do as a result of it. So here is their final translation of Romans 1:27. Listen carefully. In order to fit their description of it, they must add to the scriptures to change it. Now, let's ask a question. Since God inspired all the scripture, and since this is the truth of God, what they do to it to justify their sins is a great sin, greater than the physical acts of homosexuality, because they are turning the grace of God and the truth of God into licentiousness. We'll see that in just a minute. The Queen James Version, Romans 1 and verse 27. Listen carefully. Men with men working that which is pagan and unseemly. Doesn't say that in the scriptures. Says that which is unseemly. So they added that which is pagan. But if you don't do it to a pagan god, then it's just fine. Again, is the act the sin or the location where the act is performed? For this cause God gave the idolaters. No, he gave up the men and the women. Not just the idolaters. He gave the idolaters up unto vile affections, receiving in themselves the recompense of their error that was meet. Now let's come back to the book of Jude. Now notice what we are to do and how we are to react as Christians concerning this. If we are true Christians, and we need to understand what it is that they have done. And we need to understand that we have warnings concerning this, okay? Jude chapter 3. Beloved, when personally exhorting all my diligence to write to you concerning the common salvation, I was compelled to write to you, exhorting you to fervently fight for the faith which was once for all time, correction, which once for all time has been delivered to the saints. Now notice verse 4. For certain men have stealthily crept in, those who long ago have been written about, condemning them to this judgment. They are ungodly men who are perverting the grace of our God, turning it into licentiousness, who are personally denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that what they're doing with the Word of God? So brazen and bold and so absolutely perverted and burning in their lust toward making their behavior appear to be acceptable in the Word of God.
À medida em que nós vamos vivendo numa comunidade que tem claro essa missão, né, de desconstruir esses paradigmas religiosos, sociais, passamos a nos amar mais, a nos respeitar mais, percebendo a beleza dessa diversidade.
Eu acredito que as igrejas cristãs vai chegar um momento da história que elas vão ter que se abrir para a homossexualidade, para a transexualidade. Eu sei que eu não vou ver, mas eu sei que eu estou fazendo parte desse processo, eu sei que eu estou abrindo portas. E há uns 2 meses, mais ou menos, eu comecei o curso de teologia. Para daqui 3 anos, se Deus quiser, ser ordenada, talvez a primeira reverenda transexual do Brasil.
Solta sua voz. Ó Espírito de Deus, vem, vem e fica aqui. E passeia no meio do teu povo.
Can you get any more brazen and changing the truth of God and the grace of God into licentiousness than that? I think not. So we'll finish this up with one more segment. But in the meantime, be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. We have more Bible teaching on there, straight scriptural teaching, understanding the Word of God, and it will be really a fantastic study for you to do and use that website. And also, remember to download all the things that we have on our homepage for you. All of these are designed to help you come to God out of this wretched and miserable society that has been perverted from the top down. And Church at Home, you can learn at home, you can understand at home, and you don't have to have any of the pressure of people coming upon you to try and get you to follow their misled, misguided, and lawless Christianity. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.